It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve, born on this day back in 1945 from the American breed, Chicago area band, Gary Luizzo. He died in 2016, but part of the band with the number 5 single, this one, Bend Me, Shape Me. That's a great song. Gary Luizzo from the American breed, born on this day back in 1945. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. We're joined by Richard Stern. He is Senior Policy Analyst and Budget Policy at the Herman Center at the Heritage Foundation, more at heritage.org. Richard, thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me on today.
A couple of pieces in the past week from you over at heritage.org. The truth about what the so-called Inflation Reduction Act would do. 7 ways the Inflation Reduction Act would wallop your wallet. The president is scheduled to sign this into law today, so we should probably know what it does. What I want to ask you first is the tax hikes for everyone. Now, there is not direct tax hikes for all in this bill. It doesn't say if you make less than $30,000, your rate moves from X to Y. So why does this bill, or how does this bill include tax hikes for all Americans?
So one of the things that the left loves to do is say that if I impose a tax on this person, it won't affect this other person over here. In truth, taxes affect everybody, and especially the taxes in this bill. So the tax hikes in this bill are from two different places for the most part. So one are taxes on corporations, businesses. Now, you might say, I'm not a corporation. I'm not a business. How is that going to affect me? But the truth is, at the end of the day, businesses have exactly 3 places where they can park a tax. Because a company is just workers and people that have institutional knowledge and know how to make things, to come together with tools and make those things. It can't pay the taxes. It either has to cut wages for workers or not hire people, raise prices for consumers or just not produce certain things, or cut its profits, which at the end of the day get rolled into further expansion of their operations, or is money that's lent out to new businesses, to small businesses. So really, at the end of the day, those corporate taxes that are in this bill are going to mean that everybody ultimately has lower wages, fewer job opportunities, higher consumer prices, or really, you just have larger monopolies because small businesses can't get investment capital. The other place where the tax hikes come from is that they're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents, more than doubling the size of the agency to, quote, do enforcement activities. The truth is, this is where the IRS runs around beating down your door, nitpicking little things, and for the most part, going after families that can't afford to actually fight the IRS or hire an accountant, so they're forced to just settle. In fact, 51% of IRS audits are on households making less than $75,000. Certainly far from the wealthy that they want to make you think they're going to go after.
Now, Richard, the White House press secretary promised us no new audits for anyone making less than $400,000 a year. Democrats had an opportunity to approve an amendment which would put that into the law. They refused during debate. That's a promise that is just, it is impossible to keep, isn't it?
And that just backs up exactly what we're talking about right here. And to your point on that, if you looked at, you add up the math on it, You have to tax people under $400,000.
Right.
The truth is, right, if you increased the rate of audits by 3,000% on people making $400,000 or higher, if you went to 100% audits for tax filers making $10 million or more, you would still fall well short. You would fall 20% short of raising the kind of money they're talking about raising. So to your point, they have to go after people making less than $400,000. But I'll give you another thing about it. So two parts of that, right? One, they like to pretend that, right? Oh, it's, you know, people making over $400,000 or whatever. They're talking about tax filers. That includes small businesses. So really, even though when they're talking about that, or, you know, for the most part, even what I said before, if you went to 100% audits for people making $10 million or more, it's not really people making $10 million or more. Those are small businesses. They're what we call pass-throughs, which is where the income of a business or, you know, some franchise passes through to the individual income tax of an individual person. Now, I'll give you one other thing on that. Janet Yellen, of course, put out a letter, which part of what you're talking about, that said, don't worry, you know, no new taxes, no new audits on real Americans and, you know, middle and low-income American households. In that letter, she says, and don't worry, we won't increase the share of small businesses against recent historic levels that will get audited. What does that mean? Recent historical levels, audit rates have been coming down. So she wanted to go back 10 years or 5 years. That could mean a doubling, an actual doubling of audits on small businesses and mid-sized businesses. But I'll give you one other thing about that as well, which is that right the next paragraph after she says, we won't go after small businesses, she says, but we are going to have a robust attack on pass-throughs. Well, those are small businesses. That's just the technical term for it. So right there, you see the duplicitous nature of what they're doing.
I want to go back to a point that I think you made previously, Richard Stern with us from Heritage, and that is all the spending in this bill on green energy and the things that Democrats want to spend on, the funding mechanism that allows the president and Democrats to claim it will lower the deficit or be deficit, whatever they're going to say about it, the funding mechanism is all essentially in the audits, right? I mean, the funding for all this comes from hoping to squeeze more money out of everyday Americans.
That's the large part of it. But, you know, the other thing is, there are a bunch of gimmicks in here. There are things where there are choice expirations, programs that they've claimed would be temporary that they wanted to have around for a year that have now magically been around for 5 years, things like that, right? So, you know, the truth is, if you go through and you ungimmick all of the stuff like that, if you really put in all of those new little taxes they're going to find to put on you, but you look at all the spending they're really going to do and you add it all up, it's $4,500 per household in this country of taxes. $136 billion of those taxes, by the way, are going to fall on middle and low-income families. And the spending is still going to dwarf that at nearly three-quarters of $1 trillion over this time period. The bill is actually going to produce $350 billion in deficits. When you total all of that, you ungimmick it, and you look at how much economic harm there's going to be, it's actually going to add to inflationary pressures by creating yet another deficit. What kind of nonsense is this?
Yeah, talk about that. We got about 60 seconds or so here, Richard, but the Inflation Reduction Act actually is going to intensify inflation. How does that happen?
Absolutely. So by producing deficits like that, it creates pressure for the Federal Reserve to print yet more dollars the way they've done. They've printed $6 trillion of them over the last few years here that cover federal government deficits, which just devalues money in your paycheck and your savings account that cover reckless federal government spending. So that's one pressure from it. And the other one are all of these taxes, the money they're going to spend on green boondoggles is going to redirect trillions of dollars of investment out of good, productive, profitable industries and into these green nightmares. All of this is going to mean that there are fewer goods on shelves and more dollars running around. Perfect recipe for inflation.
Richard Stern, Senior Policy Analyst in the Herman Center for the Federal Budget at the Heritage Foundation. Find these two pieces up at heritage.org. Richard, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. Mark W. Smith is next. The Inflation Reduction Act, the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, also with an impact on the Second Amendment and guns. He'll explain next on the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan Chamber.
Over the past year, we've experienced incredible uncertainty. Businesses across the state have been shut down. Unemployment skyrocketed, and Michiganders have been left wondering, what's next? And throughout this turmoil, your Michigan Chamber has been fighting for you to protect lives and livelihoods. We know that we're all in this together. Michiganders are strong and resilient, and we know that working together, we can bring Michigan back.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
The pandemic has made it clear, if you're overweight, have diabetes or high blood pressure, you are at risk. My Pure Health Solutions wants you to get healthy. If you've been thinking about losing weight, there's no better time than right now. With My Pure Health Solutions, you can do it all from the privacy of your own home. My Pure Health Solutions will build a custom plan just for you to lose weight, lower your blood pressure, and even boost your immune system. If you're ready to take control of your weight and your health, today is the day. Go to GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com.
In the Den with Dan Dickerson.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code HUGE for a special offer when you sign up. That's code HUGE, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Had a chance to talk with Jim Leland and Alan Trammell over the weekend about Lou Whitaker, who had his number one retired Saturday. Jim Leland was Lou's first manager in the minor leagues at Lakeland, and Lou was the MVP of the Florida State League as a third baseman. Jim Leland said the talent was obvious. He said Lou Whitaker was just such a good athlete, and while he was a singles hitter then, Leland says he wasn't surprised. He developed into a power hitter with his quick bat and strong wrists. I asked Tram what his first impressions were of Whitaker in the instructional league that fall, and he just smiled and said, you could tell he had game. Tram said, most of all, he's so happy to see Lou get the same honor he got 4 years ago, having his number retired. As he said, there's no number three up there without number one.